last update. Last week, everything is going really well. I do want to try to wrap up what was kind of a complex week, I guess, if you want to think about who's maybe the hardest person to read in ethics, and that would be Kant for a number of people. And I think one of the things to really process through the various assignments is at least this. I'm not trying to make you good little deontologists or little followers of Kant, but what I am trying to do in all fairness is lean a little bit more on what a lot of people take to be very intuitive until you realize maybe it doesn't work. So, examples. Starting with the first journal, that's tough for a number of people because we are sort of raised to believe there's no right answers, and we are sort of trained and taught that we're not supposed to judge. And even from a helpful sort of Christian perspective, right? Oh, we can't judge. And yet, morally speaking, that's problematic, right? Not that I necessarily want to get into someone's business or exercise a lot of control over them, but it does leave us open to having to say, if that's truly what we think, that everything is just relative and we're not in positions to judge, it leads us to at least have to say, well, I guess racism is okay, right? I can't, it's not for me to judge. Or I don't care how you treat women because, oh, it's not my place to judge. And right, most people don't really mean that. But even still, I mean, if you really want to take that hard line position and say, yeah, I think that's what relativism really means, and that's where I'm really at, I still don't think that's true. Because in one of the journals, just as a sort of fun point, if that's the case, it's all relative, I can just fail everybody because I want to. And you could get mad, right? But here's the problem. If you're going to say it's not right and you start to go find reasons, then that's what I'm looking for, right? That's the difficulty. If you would think it were to be unfair for me to fail everyone in the class simply on a whim, you're judging and you're looking for reasons, and that's what I'm getting at. So at the end of the day, I don't think any of us really are that relativistic. I think we've painted ourselves into a corner between, things that don't matter. Like, I don't care what you wear, how you dress, how you eat, what you eat. And things that do matter, like, oh, you really shouldn't treat people that way. That's demeaning, degrading, belittling, horrible. It should probably stop, right? Now, to that, jumping to the truth-telling piece, that's a part of it, right? And one of the things that's really hard with the truth-telling, and I really appreciate all the examples that you shared, and it is difficult because there's two problems that run in with the truth-telling. One of which is, we can sometimes use truth like a stick. Like, we can use that as a way of violence, and that's not even really what Kant means. He really means, right, that we should be honest, and that's really hard. It's hard because the rule, and that's the thing I kind of picked on a number of people, right? I mean, he even means like the little white lies, the things that we think makes people feel better, he thinks are wrong. And that's one of the reasons, like, I even couldn't be a Kantian is, not so much the white lies as much as a matter of, like, you aren't even supposed to joke in the way that you're supposed to, that we often joke because it demeans people. And it's not wrong, but then there's nothing ever funny to do or say, whatever. But back to the point about truth-telling, it isn't supposed to be a stick. So I really do believe that part of what you do in the truth-telling is it does go and is should be matched up with being tactful and there's some timing. So in a couple of things I've published on truth-telling, that's kind of my advice. It has to be tactful, and there's an element of timing. So, for example, quite honestly, I had to deliver some sort of difficult news to a person yesterday, and I didn't even have to, right? I mean, honestly, I could have said, hey, we're done doing this thing, and I could have sent an email, and it had been honest, but also kind of cruddy. It needs to, sometimes you have to deliver hard news and it's better to do it face to face, but there's something about timing, right? You don't want to do it in a way that there's no relationship built up and you just sort of spring this truth on them like, oh, you're awful. That's the word. Like, there's no context. And some of you found that out when you're talking to friends about things like, oh man, I don't know that I've done this, right? So that's the drawback to truth telling for a number of us isn't that truth is bad or being honest is bad, but most of us realize we actually don't have the time investment with people to have a relationship that means we can be that honest. And it also means that what we tend to do is, instead of just like finding the right way to say stuff, we just say it, and it can be really callous. And that's not the point of truth telling either, is to just be callous and create some other kind of injury. So to that point, backing up to the thing about capital punishment and how we treat animals, I think there is a difficulty with Kant, kind of working even more backwards, right? There's an element where I have no moral obligation to animals, but how I treat them probably says a lot about me. And I think that's a good rule of thumb to keep in mind with a lot of these things. Kant is very clear: capital punishment is acceptable. Sometimes the only way you can pay debt for evil is through capital punishment. He says the same for how you punish children, that corporal punishment, that's spanking, is acceptable. But, and this is the thing that many people miss, and it's why I sort of tie it to the truth-telling thing. He says, when he lectures on how you teach children, that corporal punishment is okay. You can spank them, hit them, but that is not always your go-to, right? He says, and also, if that's the only way you do it, then here's what we know. A, they don't know how to legislate the moral law to themselves, and B, they will only kiss your hand as a slave to a master. This is not supposed to be about another method of control, although it certainly turns out to be that way. So when I read these other things from Kant, I sort of take that in line with the truth telling that, oh, being honest isn't about being cruel, right? And it does mean when I'm making a judgment, I should be aware of how I'm making that judgment. And that is part of the thing that is, and one of you pointed out the thing about the subconscious, I completely agree. I think a lot of times we're always judging, but the fact of not encountering the reasons of how and why, we are always sort of subconsciously judging and not having real good reasons for it. We need to ferret out what are those reasons why I think something's wrong. So as I'm telling you that, leading into this coming week, there's a discussion, but there's no further stuff. Existentialism is sadness, despair, it's a treat. But the reason I use it at the end is to confront you with, you are the one that has to make these choices, right? So even with the Kant stuff, at the end of the day, I'm not a Kantian. I use it a lot because I think it's a good sort of training tool, for lack of a better word. But we all live, we all have choices to make, and they're not in a vacuum. They have real impact. And that's not necessarily to sound utilitarian, but it is to say, oh, the things that I do, if I think they're meaningful and important, I need to make them meaningful and important. So as you go into this last week, keep these three things in mind, from utilitarianism to deontology to the sort of ultimate individual responsibility for the choices you make, and realize that's part of what you're trying to do in the final paper. What is a dilemma I would solve, and how might I go about doing that using one of these theories? So we're almost there. Good job.